Isaiah 43:10. When you have it, would you say amen?
Amen.
Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. Somebody say, I'm a witness. And my chosen whom I have, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me, there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me, there is no Savior. Wow. Glory to God. That's powerful. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange, notice this, little g, little God among you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses. Somebody say, I'm a witness, saith the Lord, that I am God. Notice the big G. Yea, before the days was, I am he. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? God will work if you let him. Says, I will work, and who will let it? I'm just going to read another portion of scripture, skipping down to the 19th verse. It says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I will work, and who shall let it? I want to preach to you this morning on this thought. Let him work. Let him work. Would you lift your voices unto the Lord? Just begin to talk to him this morning. Come on. We've had good worship. We had great prayer. I believe God's in this place. I know he's in this place. But we need folks to be delivered, to be set free, to be healed, to be transformed, to be forgiven, to be filled with the Spirit, to be blessed, to be convicted. Come on, RT. We're going to thank God right now. We're going to pray that we're unified. Unity in the Spirit, oh God. Unified with you, oh God. You're going to work, God. We're going to let you work, God, not just in the church, but in our lives, God. Oh, we give you the glory and the praise and the honor and the thanks, oh God. We praise you for your mighty acts and according to your excellent greatness. Somebody say, let them work. God bless you. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. The prophet Isaiah prophesies to the people of God. Isaiah was speaking and writing mainly in Jerusalem. And Sister Savannah, you can turn it down. I apologize. Now that the music is gone, I'm going to blow my own eardrums out. Isaiah was speaking, thank you, and writing mainly in Jerusalem. The besetting sin of the people of God, as we know, was idolatry and unfaithfulness to God. But our God is faithful. No matter what it is we're facing in our life, and no matter who we're dealing with, no matter the people, the places, or the things that may have distracted us from serving him with all sincerity and serving him with all truth. We have a God in heaven who is forever faithful. We have a God in heaven whose word is settled no matter what. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of the Lord standeth forever. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. There's a God in heaven that is looking and saying, I want to help you. I want to deliver you. I want to forgive you. I love you. I want to bless you. I want to anoint you. But you got to let me work. You got to let me be God. I can't just be a God. I got to be God. I got to be Lord of all. If I can't be Lord of all, then I'm not going to be anything, because I can't be who I am not. And I am the God of all heaven and of all earth. And I want to do some things in the people of God's life. Our God is faithful. Our God could never not be faithful, because that is who he is. He is a faithful God. But we as the people of God, we at times have to be rescued, and we have to be brought back on the straight and narrow. We have to find a place of repentance and renewing of the Holy Ghost. We have to find a place of sometimes of being altered and finding an altar so that we can be altered so that we can be changed and transformed, because sometimes things get convoluted. Sometimes things get mixed up in our spirits because we're walking in the flesh. And sometimes we forget about the things that we have been taught or that we know. And that's what the Lord is saying. He's saying, you are my witnesses. I've chosen you that you may know and believe and understand that I am He, I am God. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. There's a lot of things that are trying to fill the gap to save you, whether it's money or time or relationships or places or things that you accumulate. But none of those things have died on the cross, will die on the cross, can deliver you, can forgive you. None of those people, places, or things shed their blood for the remission of your sins. But it was God Almighty. It was God manifested in the flesh, in Jesus Christ, as the scripture says, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We gotta let God be who He is. He is God all by Himself. He can do a work in our lives. If we let Him. If we let Him. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from only the bad things we've done. Only the things that mama said, you better pray to God that your daddy don't find out about. No, he says, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But we have to confess our sins. And then He's just to forgive us. If we let Him work, He'll work. He'll work in us. The children of Israel's besetting sin was idolatry and unfaithfulness. You know, they would follow after the Lord, and then they'd get distracted and go back to pagan worship and pagan ideas and pagan philosophies, and then the Lord would raise up a judge, or He'd raise up a king, or He'd raise up a prophet, and they'd repent, and they'd get back and serving the Lord. And it's no different today that at times that we have our ups and downs, and at times we're not specifically worshiping idols. We're not specifically bowing down and praying to a graven image. We know the scripture says that don't have any graven images, but we struggle with our faithfulness with the Lord. We struggle with our walk with God. We get caught up in idolatry, not just necessarily worshiping those things, but they have the ability to become a little god in our life, because we spend more time paying attention to the created things instead of the Creator. We at times get caught up in spending more times with the things that God has blessed us with instead of the One who gives us the blessings. That's why in John 5:21, 1 John specifically 5:21, the Apostle John writes and says, hey, keep yourselves from idols. So be it. That's what he says. Amen. Keep yourselves from idols. Watch it. God's not interested in us in creating stuff to take the place of Him in our lives. God did not create us to be consumed or entertained with people, places, and things and forget about Him. God did not call us or choose us to serve anyone else or anything else but Him. Notice this. 1 Peter 2:9-10. I'm building a foundation here, but it says, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him that's called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Not just a light, but marvelous light. And He called us out of darkness. And then it goes on in verse 10, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which hath obtained mercy. We didn't have mercy before, but now we have obtained mercy. We're the people of God. We're the children of God. In fact, He tells us in Isaiah 43:10, you are my witnesses. And then you go back to the New Testament and in Acts chapter 1 and 8, it says, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you shall receive power. Then he goes on to talk about that. So here this morning, if you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is the Spirit of the Lord living inside you with the evidence of speaking in tongues, you have become a witness, and you should see and know and understand that He is God, and He can work, and He can do things in all of our lives if we submit to Him and we allow Him to be God in our lives. A witness is a testimony. A witness is a recorder. A witness is somebody that has either seen or known by personal presence and perception. They were present at. They're evidence of. That's what a witness is. In fact, the other day I was driving home and I was on the phone with Sister Panera. I was maybe a half a mile from my house and I was in the slow lane and somebody else was in the fast lane, but we were driving and there right in front of me was a automobile accident. Car flipped up and turned around and all the airbags blew up. And so I did what I felt, what I should have done. I pulled off to the side, got off, said, everybody okay? Anybody want pastor to pray? And they said, we're okay, sir. I said, all right. And I took off and I left because a big crowd started coming. There was plenty of other people there. I had somewhere to go, but I was a witness to something that had taken place. And I'm here today to tell you about what I saw. It's the same thing in the scriptures. It's the same thing with what God has done in our lives. We are all witnesses about what God has done in our lives. Some He saved from addiction. Some He saved from immoral lifestyle. Some He's still working on. Some He's forgiven of things that you never told anybody about. Others today, you're a witness of the miracle power of God in these altars. People have been healed. They've been delivered. There's been miracles. There's been folks that have come in here and they've had sickness in their body. They couldn't open their mouth. They couldn't walk. But we prayed and God healed and God delivered. We are a witness of the miracle working power of God, and we got to let Him work in our lives, in every aspect, in every part of our lives. He'll work if we let Him. He gives us free will, but we got to let Him work in our lives. That's why the scripture says, not my will, but thy will be done. Isaiah, our scripture text this morning, Isaiah 43 follows chapter 42. I told you I wasn't good in math, but I at least know that 43 comes after 42. But Isaiah chapter 42 ends with God's sorrow over the spiritual decay of His people. Many times we can be spiritually blinded to the fact of our very own spiritual deficiencies. Think about that. We can look at someone else and see their mistakes, their downfall, their sins. We can see their failures. But to see the same faults, mistakes, and even hold ourselves to the same level of accountability that we pridefully hold others to is wrong. I've used this before. This is not original. I've used it before. But sometimes I'm going somewhere. I'm just building a platform, but we use a telescope at our life, right? Look at it far from a distance. You know, I don't know if I see a crater on the moon or not, you know. Maybe it's the fuzzies in my eye. But we'll use a microscope, somebody else's life. We may condemn others for their sins and failures and past mistakes and their level of holiness, but we become twice as guilty if we fall down that same path. We've got to review our own spiritual life and walk with God and ensure that we are standing before God. And I've been on this thing for the last couple of weeks, but with pure hands and a clean heart. Because there's never going to be a perfect church or a perfect you or a perfect pastor or a perfect country or a perfect job or spouse. There's never a perfect doctor. Or I know Dr. Walker, I apologize, but there's never a perfect neighborhood. There's never a perfect situation. But we got to allow a perfect God to work in us and to purify things out in us. He'll work in us if we allow Him to work in us. But we got to get our hands off of the steering wheel. We got to stop being a backseat driver and say, God, you drive, you lead, and I will follow, because I know that you're going to do some new things, God. I know there's some new levels of anointing. I know there's some blessings that I haven't even seen or haven't even imagined yet, that God, that you want to do, Lord. And I don't want to be a hindrance to myself or anybody else for you doing a new work in their life. God will work if you let Him. Somebody say, let Him work. There's always a perfect God. That's one thing that is sure. Our God is perfect. Psalm 18 and 30 says, as for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. But we got to let Him work in us. And we got to let Him work through us. Sometimes it requires us to allow Him to work on our eyes, for us to take the mote out of our eyes so that we could see clearly. God, help me to see in the Spirit. Help me to see, oh God, not in the flesh, Lord, but help me to see, God, through your eyes, God. It was a songwriter that said, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. But I want us today, oh God, to be able to see the things that you've got for us, God, and be able to see the imperfections in my life, and help me to be more holy. Help me to be more righteous. Help me to be more loving, more forgiving. But God, help me, oh God, to let you work in me and through me, oh God. I just don't want to pray for somebody else, but God, I want to pray for me that I could be the man and the lady that you've called me to be, oh God, because I'm your witness and I see and I understand and I know, God, that you're perfect. And help me, oh God, to be able to participate in the new things you're about to do. Yes. We got to take the mote out of our own eyes so we can see clearly. Jesus says, why beholdest thou that the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam in thy own eye? How would I say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote of thy own eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? I've preached on this before, but this is what He says. Thou hypocrite. Matthew 7 and 5. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye. Then thou shalt clearly, notice this, thou shalt see clearly to cast out of the mote of thy brother's eye. We gotta let God work. Amen. You ever go somewhere and somebody's doing something, or maybe they've come to your house to do repair or on your job, and you know, the guy's trying to be nice, but he really just wants you to leave him alone so he can work. Because you called him there to repair your appliance, right, Brother Fernando? And they're just there, just talking about the refrigerator came from your best friend's neighbors next door, his cousins, twice removed, you know. Got it for $100 and it's worth $1,000. And just let the dude work. It's the same thing with us, with the Lord. Just let him work. Just let Him work. Let the Holy Ghost work in us. Let the power and the anointing and the conviction of God, let it work in us. And then let it begin to work through us, so that we can be the spiritual conduit, so we can help others. But we can be a blessing, because God has called us to bless others and to help others. And we what we don't need is a whole bunch of us driving around and say, Lord, I know you can do this and I want you to do this. And He's saying, hey, if you would just let me be the Lord, if you would just get on the bus that I'm supposed to be driving and come get off on this street here. There's no street lights. Yeah, but I need you to walk down this street, because I got something for you, because you're going to be the light in the darkness. What's good about being the light, having a light in light? We need to be the light in the darkness, but we got to let God work in us and through us, and He's willing to do it if we let Him. Isaiah 43 and 12 says, I've saved, I've declared, I have showed when there was no strange God among you, when I've showed you that I'm God, I've declared it, I've saved you, I've showed you, when you were on the straight and narrow, when you were serving me, when you were submitted to me, when you were loving me with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, when you didn't have these little things that have become little distractions or little gods and materialism and people and places and things that have kept you from being holy and submitted and righteous and accountable to me. I've showed you that I'm the Lord. I've showed you that I can provide manna for you when you're hungry. I've showed you that I provide light for you and I can provide a cloud of covering for you. I've showed you that I can part the Red Sea. I've showed you that when you call upon me, I hear and I answer them. My ears not inclined or closed to the prayers of your people. I've showed you that before. He has showed us that he's Jehovah's Jireh. He has showed us that he's the God that provided. He has showed us over and over and over again that he's Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. He has showed us over and over again that he's Jehovah Rapha, the God that healeth us today. But we got to make sure that we let him work in us and through us so we can be witnesses, so we can show and be a testimony, not just by our words, but by our actions in worship, in giving, in love, in repentance, and say, God is working in me and he's going to work through me. Somebody say amen. It wasn't too long ago that I was frustrated about something. I was disturbed about something. I really didn't know what to do, how to deal with it, how to handle it. I began to get angry. I know the scripture says to get angry and sin not. So I didn't want to do or say something that, as James 4:17 says, him that knoweth to do good and doeth not right, to him it is sin, you know? So I had all this coming against me and, which is right. And I began to pray and, Sir Pinero said, well, I think you probably got to make a phone call. I said, yeah, probably right, because if I'm about to do something, it might be World War III, you know. I said, well, I'm going to call my pastor and my bishop. Whatever they tell me to do, I'm going to do it. Because I want a good mindset, spiritual mindset. And I submitted to my pastor, and he told me what to do. And so I said, well, I'm going to do that. It kind of ruffled my feathers a little bit, you know. And I said, well, I'm going to do what he said. And then I talked to the bishop, and it's so good to have spiritual, godly counsel. Don't always understand it, maybe not always agree with it, but when they're right, come on, somebody. We can do a whole lot of things and mess up a whole lot of things, but God will work if you let him. Sometimes he'll work through the pastor, sometimes he'll work through the scripture, sometimes he'll work through a prayer. But if we just let God work, he'll work it all out. He'll lead us. He leads me by the still water. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He's going to work it out. He's going to help us. And so I went to bed. It's okay. It is what it is. Thank the Lord anyhow. I'm glad that I was able to make a phone call and I could get some clarity. But can I tell you this morning, some of us need to pick up the old song. It's so old, I can't remember the name of it, but it's talking about the phone. Central's never busy, always on the line. Royal telephone. Some of us need to pick up the royal telephone to heaven and say, Lord, it's me. I know you're surprised that I'm calling because I had you blocked. I had you on mute. But Lord, I need to talk to you about me. If you work in me, God, I'll let you. I'm sorry that I had you blocked. I'm sorry that I had you on caller ID, Lord. But I'm going to answer. I'm ready to be submitted, Lord. You work in me and you work through me. Somebody say amen. Somebody say let him work. I like what this scripture setting says, Sister Kendrick, and the New Living Translation, Isaiah 46:9-10, our scripture text in a New Living Translation says, remember the things that I've done in the past, for I alone am God. I am God and there is none like me. Only I can tell you the future before it ever happens. Everything I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish. We got to yield to God. So, Pastor, I'm here on Sunday morning. Isn't that proof enough? Oh, Well, I understand that we have the Sunday shout, right? You get the Monday pout, the Tuesday doubt, and by Wednesday you're all out. We got to let God work in us 7 days a week, 365, and say, you know what? I serve him on Monday like I do on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. I serve him on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. And I do it over and over again. And I let him work in me so that he can work through me. But we got to yield to his way, his thoughts, his plans, his desires. Psalmist tells us in Psalms 46 and 10, be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the heathen. I'll be exalted in the earth. The Lord is saying, I'm God. Will you let me work? Will you quit holding the steering wheel? I control the sun. I control the moon. I love it. And this, I'm not being offensive when I say this, but I love it when somebody says, well, Pastor, I know that a man's got to work. If you don't work, you don't eat. I know the scripture says. It's right. Adam was called to care for the garden. That was his job before he had a wife. Think about that. Got to have a job first, man. But I love it. I love to say this, and now you're saying, well, Pastor, if you tell me that, I know what you're meaning. But sometimes there's jobs that are seasonal. I understand that. Especially where we live and where I came from in the Central Valley, there's a reason there's a farmer's almanac, right? That's pretty brilliant information there. But don't you know and realize that we serve the Lord who controls everything. Yeah. Pastor, he controls the rain? Yep. He controls the stock market? Yeah. He controls everything. He causes one to rise and the other one to come down. Don't you think that the Lord can he sees what you're dealing with? We have a hard time controlling our time or managing our own money, right? Or our allowance. But God, everything in the world, the Lord's, he's taking care of it all. The scripture tells, there's not a lily in the field or a sparrow in the sky that he's not aware of and what takes place. You think that he can't see what you're facing? What's troubling you? The mental health issues you're struggling with or the relationship that you're involved in that's breaking your heart, the loneliness, the frustration you're facing, the mood swings, the struggle with righteousness and holiness. He's not aloof to this. He's not forgetful. It's not that he doesn't know what to do. Don't you think that if God delivered you from addiction, filled you with his spirit, don't you think that the Lord that has saved you and brought you out of the world, he saved some of you from multiple death experiences? He's healed your body. Over 59 verified miracles in 12 months in this building right here. He's given some of you a place to live over and over and over again. Don't you think that he's God enough to lead your life and to keep you safe and to protect you and to help you and to heal you again? Don't you think that he's God enough to do what it is you've been praying about, but you haven't allowed him to open the door for you because you keep standing at the door and saying, well, it's not the door that I want open. He says, no, it is the door that you want open, because on the other side of that door is greater and bigger and more blessings of things that you can have if you would just trust me. Come on, somebody. I've come to preach the Revival Tabernacle this morning. Let's let God be God and let him work in us and through us so we can see one of the greatest revivals this world has ever seen, not just in this physical location, but in our personal lives. It's a walk of faith sometimes. Do you know that you can't please God without faith? Hebrews 11 and 5 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Sometimes we're trying to push a door open when the Lord's saying, I need you to pull it open.
Yeah.
You ever done that? Trying to push on a door? It says, pull. We do that spiritually. We need to let God lead. We need to let God work in us. We got to stop trying to be God. We got to stop. You might be the boss and the CEO of your job. You may be the head of the mama may be the head of the house, but you got to stop trying to be God and trying to rule and micromanage everything in your life spiritually, in the church, and in other people's life. You got to let God work. You got to let him be God. Hey, and until you die on the cross, shed your blood, and resurrect in 3 days, you are not God. You don't know anything about what takes to run the world or to rule somebody else's life. You just let God work. He said, if you let me work, I'll bless you. I'll do new things in your life, is what he says. I'll prepare a way in the wilderness. I'll give you things that you've only thought about and some things you've only can imagine. I'll do that and then some. But you gotta let me be God. God will work if you let him.
He will.
We got to quit overthinking of what we feel and need to do and let God work in us and through us. What does God want? What does he seek? What's he requiring? Matthew tells us to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, Matthew 27 and 39, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is likened unto this, to love thy neighbor as thyself. When you can love the Lord and trust him with everything and serve him with submission and obedience, you love him. And so you trust that he has your best interests in mind. You trust his word. You trust his man. But more than that, you trust him. He says, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. If the scripture says to repent, then we repent. That's what he's calling. He says, there's some things that you must do to get in the door. Repentance. If the Lord is saying you need to love, then you need to love. If he's saying you need to be holy, you need to be holy. If he says to forgive, you need to forgive. If he says, hey, I need you to give, then you need to give. He says to pray, then we need to pray. There's a cause and effect to obedience and submission to the Word of God. Notice our scripture text this morning, Isaiah 43 and 10 through 13. You are my witnesses. I've chosen that you may know and believe me. I know, and I'm not on a tangent this morning, but sometimes we will believe somebody else, their opinion, their philosophy, their idea, their experience. What about the word of the Lord?
That's right.
Right? What about what the scriptures say?
That's right.
And understand that I am he. It doesn't say that you're going to understand everything. We just got to understand, well, he's God.
Yeah.
I understand that he's God. And he makes all things beautiful in his time. I don't see the beauty in it right now, but he's God. He causes it to rain on the just and the unjust. I don't know why some things happen, why bad things happen to good people. I don't understand why some people get sick and other people get healed. But I know he's God. I know that what he has given me, I want to be a good steward with it, whether it's a church that he's entrusted me with, it's visitors that come in, whether it's my own personal home and my child and my wife or whatever it is that the Lord has entrusted you with. We got to understand that he needs to be involved in everything that we do in the church and out of the church, because he's working all the time if we let him. He'll lead us all the time if we let him. He'll allow us to be spirit led and discern certain things if we let him. He can give you some things. He can take some things away if you let him. But we gotta let him be God in our life. We gotta let him be the Prince of Peace and the Counselor and the Everlasting Father in our life. We can't just serve him and call upon him in a crisis or in trouble, but we gotta call him at all times. We got to fully surrender to the Lord. We got to let God work. We got to understand what the scripture says that for Romans 3:23, for all have sinned. Everybody has sinned and come short of the glory of God. But notice this, whom God has set forth to be the propitiation, or he's talking about Christ Jesus, through faith and his blood. It was because of the blood of Jesus that we could sit here this morning and have life and everlasting life. But you know what? In order to have power and dominion and strength and favor in our life, we gotta allow the scriptures to become alive and active in our life. We gotta do what it says. We gotta apply it to our lives. We gotta let him work in us and then let him work through us. The Bible says in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. Coming into the church or finding a church is a good start. But just because we're part of a church or we go to church does not give us a relationship with the Lord. What are you saying, Pastor? Does he know you? Do you know him? Is there an authentic relationship with the Lord? Is he working in you? Are you letting him work in you? Because he'll finish what he started. Yeah. Only he can satisfy the longing in our souls. Right. Only he can do that. Only he can fill the void in our hearts. Amen. And only he, notice this, knows everything about everybody. Tell your neighbor, even you. Sure, people may fall and stumble and sin, make poor choices, make poor decisions. Sure, you may do things that will embarrass you and your family. Sure, God's not going to be happy with some of the things that you're doing or we've all done. But we got to stop reminding ourselves about who we were and allowing that condemnation to say, oh, I guess I fell in my old way of thinking. The devil is a liar.
Yeah, that's right.
And then we got to stop following and telling other people, well, I guess you really didn't get healed of that. I guess you really didn't get addicted. Oh, you better not let pastors see you. Pastors see you? What about the Lord? Why don't we start speaking faith and authority and provoking unto good works? Come on, somebody. We got to let God work in us and through us. Know ye not, sure, the scripture says, know ye not that the unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 6:9. And it says, be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters. Ha! Right. How you like that? Well, I don't commit adultery. I'm not an abuser of themselves. I don't steal. I don't covet. I don't get drunk. I'm not an extortioner. Well, how about idolatry? Keeping you from God. It's driven a wedge between you and the Lord. Then it draws a wedge between you and your brother or your sister, and because it says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more. Well, Pastor, what are you saying? He says, I don't want anything to come between you and me. If you let me work, I will work. And then he goes on in the scripture, tells us, and such were some of you. That's who we used to be. But we've been washed. We've been sanctified. We've been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. If we let him work, he'll forgive us. He'll save us. He'll heal us. He'll deliver us and he'll bless us. But we got to let him work. We got to let him work.
Glory to God.
God will work if we let him. He'll transform lives if we let him. He'll deliver us if we let him. If we let him lead and we follow, he will lead. God will turn things around if we submit to him and quit trying to steer him into the direction. Not my will, God, but I need your will. He knows all about us. He knows about everything that we're dealing with and we're facing. We got to let him lead.
Amen.
Isaiah 43:1 says, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, yeah, and formed thee, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Let me ask you a question. I'm hurrying to a close. Is this okay this morning?
Come on.
What is so hard and difficult that God cannot heal or fix, change, deliver, bless, forgive?
Nothing.
Nothing. So we got to let Him work. We got to let Him work in the church, right? Musicians have got to be spirit led. We got to be led in unity of worship. I got to make sure that I'm being led of the Spirit when I preach. There's a reason why some of you now say, "Oh, now I know." There's a reason why I personally, now it's going to sound offensive, but I would rather be where Brother Bonham, Brother Drozic is during the whole service, and then just come up and preach, because I like to make sure I have the mind of God, and I don't want to play off people's moods or perceptions. I want to be spirit-led. I don't want to know when I preach that it is the Lord coming in. And that's why I'll come down here and I just get in my own zone, because I want to be with the Lord. Because I owe it to you wonderful people to preach what God has given me, not what has frustrated me or not what I perceive you're dealing with. I want to make sure I come in and I preach, thus saith the word of the Lord. Because God will work if I let Him. God will work if I let Him. And I can come up here and I cannot be feeling good, and I can have a headache, and I can be up here all like something's wrong, because something is wrong. I'm not feeling good physically, and that could be a distraction for you, a stumbling. Well, I wonder what pastor's mad about. You know what? I didn't come to church on Wednesday. Maybe he's mad at me. No, I got a headache. And I had reached out to Sister Drozic or Sister Thompson to get me an aspirin. And so I came up here and I just got this pounding headache and know that I got to preach something. And so I'm just trying to stay tuned with the mind of the Lord. So I've learned, Mr. Coronado, that I just got to find me a little spot and say, "Lord, you're going to work in this service. And I'm preaching this morning, Lord. And I don't want to be distracted by anything or anybody. I know that the leadership's going to lead the service. I've been called to preach, and I pastored this church, and I'm going to do it, Lord. And I'm going to worship, and then I'm going to get behind this pulpit, and I'm going to preach what you've given me, because you're God. And if I let you be God, you will work in this service." But we got to do the same thing with us each and every week. We got to let God be God.
Yeah.
Not just the day that He made, but He made it so that we could rejoice and be glad in it.
Yes.
Woo!
Yes.
To be glad in the day that He has made.
Yes.
Musicians would come. So we got to quit trying to do it on our own.
Yeah.
Yes.
We got to stay in our lane and let Him drive.
Yeah.
You get on an airplane, most of the time without ever seeing the pilot.
Yeah.
Or knowing who the pilot is. See, it's not, some of you have background in Air Force. It's not about how long they've been a pilot. It's about how many hours they've flown.
Yeah.
You put a stamp on a letter and you drop it in a box in the middle of nowhere. Everybody puts their stuff in the same blue box. You don't see what happens to that letter from there. Oh, but you put trust that it's going to get to where it needs to be on time. You order food from a menu. Right? Unless you're at Chipotle or pizza place, Subway, you don't know what they're putting on your food, but you eat it.
Yeah.
No more.
You'll take a piece of paper, and I know I'm generalizing, but you'll take a piece of paper that has scribbles on it. You hand it to somebody in a window, and they look at it, and they have obviously can understand the instructions on there, right? Some secret code they all understand. 20 minutes later, they hand you a bottle, finally with something you can understand for yourself. And then you take it, and you're feeling better. All good, right? You walk into an office, and they say, "I just need you to sign right here." It's like that thick, right? Buying a car, buying a house, whatever. I mean, you would need everybody there that ever written or can read and write to translate everything you're about to sign. But you don't have those kind of resources. So you sign on the dotted line. Put your thumbprint on there. Right? It's called trust. We ought to have the same trust and then some, and confidence and submission to God and His Word, to let Him be God. And to let Him work in us and through us. Because he says in Malachi 3 and 6, "For I am the Lord, and I don't change." We need him to be the Lord of all. Yeah. The word of the Lord this morning tells us, Psalm 51 and 16, "For the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou will not despise." He says, you're not going to despise or reject a repentant or a broken heart. We've got to let God work in us. We've got to let God work through us. We serve a God that wants to transform us. He wants to renew us. He's looking to restore some folks. He wants us to be revived and sustained by Him. It's hard doing it your own way. Yeah. It's not fun living without God. It's not fun. And God is calling all of us this morning to allow Him to be God and then to work through us. Because He'll work if we let Him. He's calling some to repentance. He's calling some to deeper consecration. He's calling some this morning to ministry and submission, some to a greater anointing, others to faithfulness. He's reaching out this morning as we stand, and He's prodding and He's tugging at our hearts, asking, saying, you've let me in, but will you let me lead? You used to let me lead. You used to walk in faith, but now you're walking by intellect. You used to walk by faith and not by sight. Now you're walking by your bank account. Now you're walking by the thing that you're sure of. We gotta let Him work. He says, "You're my witnesses. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior." He's the only one that can save. God will work in us and through us if we let Him. He wants us to come to repentance. He desires us to be led by Him, to commune with Him, to serve Him, to obey Him, not to be enticed or distracted or allured by the discouragement of other people or the things or their philosophies. You think your way is better than Yahweh's? Just let Him work. Because He's going to do a new thing, the Scripture says. Anybody ready for God to do something new? Well, I like kind of how it is, Pastor. There's some new blessings. There's some new anointings. There's some deeper consecrations. There's a newer building. Come on, somebody. There's a newer level of rejoicing for you. Come on, somebody. You got to see this in the Spirit. You just got to let God work. You got to let Him work. He says, "I formed these people for myself." We are His people. We're not just any old people. We're the people of God this morning. Would you let Him work? Would you let Him work? The altars are open. If you want to let God work in you and through you in a way that He's never done, I invite you to come to the altar this morning. I invite you to find a place to pray and talk to the Lord. If you want God to work in you and through you, I want you to come to this altar. If you need God to lead you, if you want a closer relationship with Him, if you need a blessing, if you need forgiveness, if you need to be filled with the Spirit, if you need the clarity for some things, come on, He'll work if you let Him, but you got to let Him work. You got to let Him work this morning. It's got to be you before the Lord.
Falling on every face.
Let Him work. Let Him work through you. Come on, altar workers, let Him work through you. Come on, give it to Him. Submit to Him. Come on, I know we all got plans, goals, strategies, but that's our will. What about God's will? What is God's will? Maybe His will is double of what you've been planning for. Maybe it's quadruple. Maybe it's half of what you've been wanting.
With the Spirit of God.
Come on. Ah. Jesus. There's freedom this morning.
It's freedom.
All around the sanctuary, would you begin to pray? Work in me and then work through me.
The Spirit of the Lord is.
Jesus. Jesus.
There is freedom.
Jesus. He's going to work in me and through me. That's it. That's it.
Freedom.
Give it to Him.